Hello, everyone. This is Erica, host of Amazing Grace Talk, the podcast, a show that will explore how God has pursued everyday people who have experienced a radical encounter with His unconditional love. These are the stories that remind us why God's grace is amazing. So welcome back to Amazing Grace Talk. My name is Erica Seymour Williamson, and today on our show, we have a longtime friend of mine. Her name is Dawn Fields. And Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Erica, for having me. I'm a fan of your podcast. It's amazing. And I listen to it all the time when I travel. So I'm looking forward to this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being a fan and being such a great supporter and just good friend of mine. And I appreciate you supporting me through this journey that God's brought me on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something I want all my friends to know, even whether they're friends or just acquaintances, that this isn't something I just up and decided to do. You know, that's why it's more important to me and easier to share is that I think these stories and testimonies are important, and they touch people's lives and plant seeds in their hearts. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, it's awesome.
Good. So, Dawn, you go ahead and just share with everyone how we met. We've known each other about 32 years. We have a long history together, but I'll just say when I was growing up, so my daughter's dad and your husband now were great friends and played soccer together, and brother Jay. And so I met you for the first time coming over in our backyard at the pool. So tell him about that.
Well, I was dating this guy and I actually called into work sick to come over and go
at the Golden Corral.
I was at the Golden Corral to go swim with him. He said, "Hey, we're going to go over to a friend's house and we're going to go swimming." And he told me about you on the way up to Dallas to see you. And I get there and there were several women in the pool, 18 to 20 year olds. All of us were 18 to 20 at the time. And I was like, "Oh no, a bunch of women," because I'm a big tomboy. This could go south fast. And it did. It went south fast, but it was, I was there and he just grabbed me, threw me in the pool, clothes, earrings, watch, the whole nine yards, not even a chance to pull my hair back or anything. And I came up laughing, and Erica swam over to him and said, "I think you're going to marry this one."
That's right. That's right. Because I spent an hour and a half putting on my makeup and doing my hair when I was 18, and I would have been really mad. You came up laughing and I'm like, "Oh, she's the one."
Yeah, I love that stuff. So I just love being outside and having a good time with people. Like, and it was a great time. I had a great time at the pool that day.
Yeah, good. That was our first meeting. And then we would go to the lake house and, she and Chelsea would tell me, "Hey, let's jump in the lake." And I'm like, "What would I say?" You could go
Erica
ahead.
Erica would say, "I can't get in that lake. There's fish pee in it."
And they looked at me like I had, you know, I was crazy
or
something.
We would just jump in. We're swimming and she's sitting in the boat.
Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, I did get in if I got hot enough." But anyway, gosh, we've had some good times, had our children together.
Erica's the only girly girl I like. Rest of them.
And look at her nails now. She does have nails because of me now. Look at this.
Yes, I do. That's true.
It's rubbed off on you a little bit.
Yeah, you have.
That's good. So let's start with your story. You've got a lot of great testimonies and stories to share with us today. But let's start back when you were about, six years old? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I don't really have it. I mean, I was raised in the church, basically, because I may start crying through this. So they're still tough to tell. But I was born with a hole in my heart. Mm-hmm. And back then they didn't close them right away because most people didn't live through them. I had a 50-50 chance of living. Mm-hmm. And so they waited till you started having seizures. So when I was six, I started having seizures and they had to come in and close it. And we had not gone to church up until that point. Mm-hmm. But right before the surgery, we were supposed to be in bed and we were not.
Yeah.
We were crawling around on the floor trying to see what mom and dad were doing in the living room or, you know, just trying to avoid going to bed. Mm-hmm. And we overheard my dad praying and he just said, "God, if you get her through this, I'll take my kids to church and my family will be raised in church. And if you don't get her through this, I'll still take my kids to church." And so I had the surgery, It went well, obviously. I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And we went to church every Wednesday and every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening until I left home for college.
Yeah.
So I was raised in church. Yeah. There's nothing else I knew.
How old were you when you say you went to church from that point on? And then when do you feel like you accepted Jesus?
I was around 9 years old, I think, when I was in our living room in our home. And I just said, you know, this, because my uncle was the minister. My dad's twin brother was the minister, and he was at the house. And I said, hey, this Sunday, I'm going to go up front and I'm going to take Jesus in my heart. And he said, sister, why wait? Let's do it right now.
That's good.
And so I was right there in my living room in my house, and I accepted Christ in my heart, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, you've just known him ever since. And
yes,
that's so cute. Do you probably don't remember the pivotal moment of, you know, what changed? Maybe just
I think getting the nerve to go up front of the church, because I at the time, believe it or not, I was really shy.
Till you met me.
Yeah. I was really shy and reserved and didn't want to do anything like that. And so I thought, well, if I tell them I'm going to go, I'm going to have to go up there.
Yeah.
I'd been wanting to do it for a long time. I was just afraid to go.
Okay.
And so that's what happened.
That's something to think. I really didn't think about that if people are, you know, nervous to go up front, gosh, maybe we should just start going out into the church and
yeah,
going to people.
Something different. Yeah, but it was a big deal for me. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to know that I have him in my heart and he'll never leave me, ever.
Yeah.
So
I'm grateful for that as well, that you know that. So I have a question. So, well, let me just say that Dawn and I, we found out we were pregnant at the same time, or right around the same time. We were due in the same month.
I was due in February.
I was due in January. And, I might cry because we were couple friends. We hung out. We, it was so exciting to be pregnant together. I mean, we were like 25 or.
Yeah, we shared all of our crazy experiences of feelings, and it was fun.
All of those things. But then we heard that Dawn had gone into labor. And I know. I remember the first thought was, I can't believe we're this good of friends and she's going into labor because that baby's probably not going to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just my first thought.
I was due in February, but this was October 20th.
Yeah.
And I went into labor and I didn't think he would make it.
Yeah.
When they told me that we were going to have him, they asked me if I wanted to have a cesarean birth or a vaginal birth. And I was like, which one's better for him? And so we went in to have a cesarean section and he had different plans. He wanted to come out naturally. And so we did. And they asked me if I wanted to see him. I said, no, I don't want to see him.
You did.
I was too afraid that. No, I didn't want to see him right then. So I couldn't. And so I didn't. Michael did. And he said he's trying to breathe. And so they started trying to save him.
Oh, wow.
That's what started.
And he was born 1 pound, 10 ounces, right?
He weighed 1 pound, 10 ounces when he was born.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, in 1993.
Yeah. And so what happened next? How long was he in the hospital? And
he was in the hospital till almost his due date, which was like February 20th or something like that. That was just a long road. He was, we were called up three times to say goodbye to him.
Yes.
Because they didn't think that he would make it. And the third time is when I told Eric, I said, you know, that's when I knew there was no doubt in my mind that God was real. I got called up on the morning, December early. It was like December 10th, I think it was, December 15th, somewhere there. And I had to drive from Stephenville, Texas to Fort Worth. And I was just on my way there and they told me we're going to say goodbye to him. That's what you're going to do. This is it. He's not going to make it. They had actually put him on a high frequency ventilator. And I found out later that was to harvest his organs in case we chose to donate them. And he had brain bleeds. He had just all kinds of stuff going on with him. And so Michael actually had a final exam that day and couldn't go.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't let him out of it. And so I drove up there. My mom met me there. And, well, on my way up there, I'm just, God, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to give this to you because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And this is yours, what your will is. I trust you. I trust it's the right thing. I want this kid in my life. I want this baby. But I know you have way bigger plans in mm-hmm. your life than this. And walked into the neonatal NICU, mm-hmm. and the bed was empty. And I just hit the ground. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. The nurses were like, wait, wait, wait. And they said he had pulled the tube out of his throat. himself. And he weighed, at that time, he still was not even 2 pounds. And he was breathing so well, they transported him to Progressive Nursery because we gave it to God. Yep. Said, God, it's yours.
So you walked in thinking that he was gone.
I thought he was gone. I thought, oh, we missed it. What was I thinking? Why didn't I leave early? He died without us. But that's the day that there is no doubt in my mind that Christ is in charge of everything. And when you give it to him and you let go and you just trust him, everything comes into place. Yeah. So that's it. Sorry, people.
No, you're good. You even have a tear down your
head. Oh, I do.
Yeah, right there.
I have tears all over.
I was going to say that then when you guys were you able to bring him home? How soon after that?
So that was around just between December 10th and 15th, and I got to hold him for the first time on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Oh. I didn't even get to hold him until that day. You could touch him before. He was born so early that his skin would come apart. So you just could like touch him.
Yeah.
You couldn't rub him. You couldn't do anything like that. And, but the first time I held him was, oh my gosh, one of my favorite days probably ever. So.
That you'll never forget. How long did you get to hold him for that time?
Not long. You could only hold him for like 10 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. It all went on how long he could hold his oxygen and hold his oxygen levels. And once they started panicking, then they put him back down.
Well, and then you guys came over. I thought it was after you picked him up from the hospital, but it must not have been if he got to come home, because Eric Elaine was born, on January 12th, and you guys, it was probably a month later, maybe February. Y'all were just probably passing through and stopped by, and that's when we got that sweet little picture, one of our favorite pictures. They were basically supposed to be born around the same time, but he was like a little peanut.
Yeah, he actually wore doll clothes. Yeah. We had to buy baby doll clothes for him to wear. Oh. We came home, he was still only 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm. He was so cute. That little picture, you know how you do, you prop them up on the couch and they're little bitty, little pea pod. Yeah. Propped him up and he was so tiny. And Erica Lane was only 7 pounds, so... Yeah, that was a special picture. And so today, Dylan is how old?
28 years old. He's doing great. He is just a true blessing. Mm-hmm. Everyone that meets him loves him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the sweetest kid. I'm not sure how we had him, but he is the sweetest kid ever.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for sharing all that. Yeah. I know. And it's funny that we've kind of talked about it through the years, but all those emotions come crashing in. You know, don't they?
They do. They don't leave you. I mean, when you have something so it wasn't tragic, but so special happened in your life, you're going to hold that memory forever.
You do. So. Yeah. And it's happy tears and sad tears, and it's all those things in between. It's good. So then is that when you started and you got into education at that time?
So I actually was doing my student teaching when I went into labor with him.
Okay.
In Granbury, Texas, yes. I was doing it that day, and I actually waited a little bit to go to the doctor because school was almost out, and I went to the doctor and got checked, and he's like, oh, you're fine. Go home and rest.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, there was no resting.
Yeah.
So he was coming one way or another.
Yep. He came on out. So you were a teacher for how long?
8 years I was a teacher.
Okay.
12 years as a principal and 8 years as assistant superintendent, I think, or director of curriculum is what it's called there. But yeah.
So do you want to talk about the, do you call it champion? What do you say?
Oh, I always say champion for kids.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I love to do is I love to help families for free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't charge for this. If I could ever figure out a way to monetize this so the families didn't have to pay, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But for free, if parents, if kids are struggling in school and you need help and you're not sure where to turn, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
And I will meet with you and I'll meet with you in the schools and mm-hmm. we'll help the schools create a plan for that kid. And we will make sure that they follow the plan, that they document how they're serving him and that they're getting the services they need.
And are you, that's incredible. But are you talking about children that need extra care, like they've gone to the diagnostician and they're maybe learning?
I'm talking about a kid that just got an F in class.
Okay. Just anybody.
Could be anything. Could be a special ed kid. It could be a regular ed kid.
Now, where were you when I needed you? Where was someone like that when I was in school?
Well, I mean, that all came to be because of my son, Dylan. Uh-huh. I mean, I went to an IEP meeting for my own son,
mm-hmm.
and he was in third grade, mm-hmm. and he had gone 1 year backwards. An IEP meeting, he was in special ed because mm-hmm. he had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
In the learning of that year, he'd gone 1 year backwards.
Okay.
And I just made a promise that day that, and I was his principal, I was his assistant mm-hmm. principal at that mm-hmm. time, but I was his principal. And I just said, no kid will ever go backwards under my watch. It's mm-hmm. not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we, what was cool is I worked in a school where the teachers really, really wanted every kid to succeed. And I do think all teachers want kids to succeed,
mm-hmm.
but it's so easy to fall back in our old ways. Mm-hmm. And so, but we made a mission. We're not going to let any kid fail. And we pushed and we pushed and we pushed and we figured it out. My own children will tell you that going through middle school with me as their principal in the school they were in was much harder than any high school they attended.
Mm.
Just because we were going to make sure you were ready for the next year. Not just pass kids.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're ready for the next year.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, and I know you struggled with mm-hmm. that.
I did, and when they tested me, I used to always call it the dumb test. I didn't really, understand what was going on, but I just knew that I had issues with comprehension. I learned that probably at about third grade when, do you remember those SRAs? You would read the story, mm-hmm. The card. I liked them. I thought they were kind of fun, but you'd read the little short story on the front and have questions on the back. That's when I started noticing. I think that's when kids start really noticing I'm not comprehending. I didn't know the word comprehension, but I just knew that I couldn't retain. I would read it and then I'd read the questions and I had no clue. I mean, mm-hmm. it just, unless it was word for word. It was terrible. But I know around junior high, when they tested me, they said, her IQ is normal. She's just not trying.
Yeah.
And that's horrible because I was trying. And really, I kind of got just looked at as, my parents basically, everybody does the best they can. But it was like study harder, do more. But to tell a child like me that was struggling already with, I learned by memory. I faulted to memory and in high school cheating. And I absolutely had to for survival.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 52 years old. That's not a big deal. I used to feel bad about saying that, but I was just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And, when I couldn't get anyone else to listen to say, hey, I need some help here.
Well, imagine the potential that has to hurt your self-esteem
mm-hmm.
and the potential it has just to have you have behavior issues and people mm-hmm. wonder why kids are the way they are. But mm-hmm. the reality is maybe the adults create that.
Yeah.
And so if we could change that, where every adult in that building is a champion for kids,
yeah,
to say, you know what, Johnny, come on over here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you figure this out. We love you no matter what you say to us. We love you no matter what you're attempting here to do. But we're going to help you. We're really here to help you.
Well, I want to be a part of any of that you do because I would, That's always been a passion in my heart. I've never known how to execute it and how to get it. But then when you told me that story and I heard that about Dylan, I thought, well, we've got to do something together at one point, or I'd love to be a part of, because I know what I felt like, you know, reaching out. And I've tried through the years to help people along the way, but just to pay attention. I just say, like with an ADD child, give them a job to do, give them a task, give them something that they can help with.
Yeah.
They're just bored, you know?
Well, the easy answer is they're being lazy or they're not trying right. hard enough. That's the easy answer.
And that's usually not true.
No, I think kids can do it. I know kids are out there that can do it mm-hmm. and choose not to do mm-hmm. it. I know that's real. I'm not saying that's not real.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I sat with a little kid one time. He was a fifth grader and he wasn't doing his homework, and we were 99% sure he could do it. So it mm-hmm. wasn't that issue, but he just was refusing that day. And so I was the principal and I said, well, your mom said you can stay after school, so I'm going to keep you after school. Mm-hmm. And he stayed after school and he's sitting there, and I offered to assist a little bit. I could see that he could do it. He was still just being bullheaded, which is fine. And so I got on the phone and I called my husband. I said, hey, I think you need to bring dinner up here for us, because I think we're going to be here for a while. And when he heard that, he was like, I said, we might be here till 8 or 9 o'clock, but he'll get it done.
All of a sudden he got it done?
5 minutes. Five minutes he had it done. He's like, you were going to keep me here till 8 or 9 o'clock? I said, I'll do whatever I have to do.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. And so he did it, and he's still, every time I see him, he reminds me of that story. Mrs. Fields, do you remember you were willing to stay?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, and I'll tell you the day I knew we were a successful school, though. Uh-huh. We had a young man, a little Hispanic kid, that schools used to come and see what we were doing that was making such a big difference.
Yeah.
And he stood in front of them, and he said, he goes, well, the difference about this school is, number one, it's easier if I just get my homework done for them, because they're not going to let me not do it. They're going to make sure I do it.
Yeah.
And they're going to make sure it gets done. And they're going to make sure that I understand it, because they all care about me enough to make sure I'm successful.
That means something, just to know that someone cares.
And he was a tough kid. I mean, he was a tough kid. But when he said that, I just thought, oh, that is what we're doing. We're caring about kids here.
Yeah.
You know?
So tell us, what are you doing? So you let go of that career.
I just left this year.
Yep. And you're doing some consulting. What are you doing?
I consult for schools now. If schools are interested in really turning around, I work with their principals and their teacher teams to help build strong connections with kids and connections to exactly what kids need to know to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I do that. And then I also started a new career. A little, when I have time off, I sell insurance on the side. Yep. So that's what I do.
Yep. Yeah. That's good. That is good.
It's exciting.
Would you like for people to get in contact with you, maybe put it in the show notes for what you were talking about, helping children? And
they can get my information at focusjunkies.com on there. And you're welcome to put in the show notes. Okay. That'd be awesome.
I'll put that on there. So, well, thank you for being on the show today.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask you one question. One question.
Okay.
Do you want to share anything else before I have my question?
No.
No?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
You're doing good. So what is the one thing that you did differently to take your relationship with God to the next level?
I would say about 4 years ago, I made a commitment that every day I would open my Bible and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I that is true. I also, obviously I pray every day. That's not changed. But along with reading my Bible, I decided I was going to meditate and listen to God.
Mm-hmm. Be still.
Not pray, not ask for, not just listen to what he has for me. And the other thing I've done in the last few years is to let go and let him take control of my life. He knows the plan for me. He knows the plan for my family. And when I trust that, everything goes smooth. And when I don't, when I start trying to get in there and take control of stuff, he's like, yeah, it's going to go haywire for you for a little while, princess. Remember that it's all good. I got your back. But when I lean back and listen to him, mm-hmm. everything moves forward.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thanks, Erica.
Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you back here again on the next Amazing Grace Talk. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us again. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Erica C. Meyer Williamson. And please subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss any of the amazing stories that could open your eyes and seeing God in a whole new light and bring hope and healing to your life. If you would like to be considered as a guest on our show, please email me at ericacmeyer@gmail.com and share a little of your story. If you have enjoyed these podcasts and would like to be one of our awesome supporters, please click the Patreon link in the show notes to sign up for monthly support or a one-time donation. We thank you all for your generous support. And last but not least, we would be so honored if you would write a good review, subscribe to the show, and share this podcast on your social media. We'll see you back here next time on Amazing Grace Talk.